This is Mae Brussel on KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California. It is side two of broadcast number 602, and it's June the 20th, tomorrow, 1983. Tomorrow's the longest day of the year, the beginning of summer. Can you believe that one? The time goes so fast. It's hard for me to say the dates because it seems like there's a new month every time I say the date. Now, getting back to this can of worms known as... I call it the selling out of America. Once you can accept the radical, and it is radical because it is original in terms of my interpretation or research, the idea that there was a smooth continuity from the time that the American corporations funded Adolf Hitler or Mussolini and the war against the Soviet Union, once you can accept the fact that we funded those armies to make war against the Soviet Union, and when they couldn't do it, we retrenched and combined with them to go around for a third time around. This time, World War III will be not fighting the Germans as it was in 1 and 2, but we will be working with them to fight the Soviet Union. And that everything in terms of our bankers, the news media, the professors, the scientists, the military industrialists, everything that they have done has been in collusion along those lines. And there has been a continuity of the Vatican, of the churches, even of the rabbis, the ministers. Nobody has said, we've had enough. What is the origin of all that is going on? Now, if you can accept that radical idea and get books on the history of World War I and the rearmament after World War I and World War II, and after World War II and the sabotage that was going on. Once you get those books and you keep in mind what I've been saying on these broadcasts, you will see these pages jump at you with certain names that reoccur over and over again, and you realize that some very rotten, dirty work has been going on. And some of the people behind the scenes, such as Larry McDonald and Robert Morris, and Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and the people behind Senator Joe McCarthy are very much intact. McCarthyism didn't end. Instead of smearing people, I believe they killed them, and these death squads have wiped out certain people, whether it was to give them cancer or make it look like suicide or car crashes, that there are death squads all over the world to wipe out opposition, as there were in Germany until 1933, when Hitler came to power. After that, he didn't need any more excuses. He just went ahead and did it. Now, this book on the conservative movement, written in 1980, explains that Ronald Reagan was no longer, he was selected a long time ago, but that the YAFers didn't consider, not Reagan, but Nixon, their own kind in 1972. By 1972, they were supporting Agnew because Nixon had sold out America, mom, apple pie, and Taiwan, you know, over the Great Wall of China. Now, Seymour Hersh's new book, and I'll be sharing with you information on that, maybe you saw some of the articles, tells about the sabotaging of Richard Nixon when he was in office. And my thesis of why was Martha Mitchell kidnapped was that the YAFers and Spiro Agnew and the Greek military junta wanted to get rid of Richard Nixon, as Lewis Tackwood said, and this book tells you that they considered Nixon too soft. Now, the Posse Comitatus considers Ronald Reagan getting too soft, and if he makes the wrong move, they'll wipe him out. He was shot once by John Hinckley, as I say, a member of Posse Comitatus. But to study the network of people who decide who is too liberal to live or die, or who's too conservative if Nixon is too soft, they could simply sabotage him with scotch tape, and in comes Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and Alexander Haig, part of that inner Gestapo team, hand-picked and selected long ago. Alexander Haig jumped over, 243 other generals, married the daughter of the commanding officer of the Philippines, and the money going into that base came from Colonel Willoughby, from Madrid, from Spain, from the Falange, directly from Germany to Spain, to the Philippines, and Haig was on his way and was active with them in Korea, and that excuse brought in the top Nazis from Europe because the cooling off of the war period became a really hot war, and that was excuse for bringing in more of Richard Nixon's Nazi friends and associates who funded his campaign. Now, this Frank Chodorov, Chodorov, extremely right-wing person, was the man behind William Buckley, originally older man when Buckley was just out of Yale at the time. And when he formed National Review, getting back to that, in the book The Buckleys, the biography of Buckley, you can get some of the idea of National Review. On page 124, it says its editors were listed. It has James Burnham and some very conservative names that you might know, and L. Brent Bozell, that's his brother-in-law. Frank Chodorov was one of the top people. Medford Evans of the John Birch Society goes directly to Larry McDonald and that group. Carl Hess, Russell Kirk, and there's a list of people. I don't want to give you too many on the air, but there were foreign contributors, and there was a Mr. F.A. Voigt, V-O-I-G-H-T, from London, and in Paris, a Mr. Ravine, R-A-V-I-N-E-S, and from Taipei, John C. Caldwell, and in Vienna, Eric, E-R-I-K, and then a small v, Kuehnel, K-U-E-H-N-E-L-T-L-E-D-D-I-H-N, and from Zurich, Wilhelm Röpke, R-O-E-P-K-E. And this book on the Buckleys tells about Mr. Medford Evans, who is the editor. He worked with John Birch Society and has written for American Opinion for years. Editor of the White Citizens Council publication, major writer for the John Birch Society. And Mr. Voigt, they described, had dropped from sight. But Mr. Ledeen was a vehement monarchist and militarist who has maintained close ties with National Review. That's out of Zurich. Zurich is where the gun was supplied for the, Jean when he shot the Pope. And then the far-right Masonic group in Italy said this is an act of war. It was an excuse almost to get to war with the Russians because Jean had allegedly been behind a KGB plan. It came out of Zurich, and Buckley and the CIA have strong ties in Zurich, Switzerland. And this one man, Mr. Röpke, R-O-E-P-K-E, is a very important columnist in Germany who was claimed that he said that he had a disciple who was Ludwig Erhard, the man who succeeded Konrad Adenauer as Chancellor of West Germany. These are very political people, and each one of those could be looked into. Alfred Kohlberg was the one-man China lobby, working with Senator Joe McCarthy and Robert Morris and that team going way back. The background of the Buckleys should be explored more continuously, as a matter of fact. Now, in the Warren Commission hearings in Volume 18, there's a section on Young Americans for Freedom. It's page 857, and it lists the members of Young Americans for Freedom that was formed in September 1960 at the home of William Buckley. I'm not going through all of those, just about three or four people that were founding members, because one of them was Ronald Reagan, put on the staff, and Dean Clarence Mannion, the far-right Christian, was there, and Senator Strom Thurmond, working with Frank Turple and J. Peter Grace and John Reese and Larry McDonald, who I said was the congressman that would be behind. He's the man who kept running the papers to deport John Lennon. That was his project. Senator John Tower, who was involved with passing the papers that spy Marina Oswald could come to this country, the czarist Russian, white Russian from Minsk, who latched on to Lee Oswald and got her citizenship by way of marriage to Lee Harvey Oswald. She actually never did get a citizenship. Maybe she has it now. She married Mr. Porter, and she probably is a citizen by now. Colonel Willoughby, Charles Willoughby, Kurt Wiedenbach, the German-American with a mysterious background, William Noland of the China lobby, Mrs. Eli Lilly was one of the founders of YAF. I want some time to go into the connections of the coroner in Los Angeles, Thomas Noguchi, and George Bush of the Central Intelligence Agency and the Eli Lilly group. There's a link there. And Robert Morris of Navy Intelligence, Igor Cassini. His mother was part of the Tsarist entourage. They were white Russians who settled in Monte Carlo for a while. He was supposed to marry Grace Kelly, but had been married before, and that was shelled. So there's William Buckley forming this Young Americans for Freedom with Senator Wallace Bennett. It was his office that the men from Watergate worked, G. Gordon Liddy and E. Howard Hunt, the Bennett office. Mullen Associates was associated with the Howard Hughes Organization and Mr. Bennett through the Mullen Associates. And, of course, the having formed the Young Americans for Freedom and their involvement in the Dallas-Fort Worth area with Robert Morris. The Buckleys are a prime mover because of their role, as I say, in Spain and in Mexico, and people involved in these various assassinations. There's a professor, Lev Dobriansky, who works with Robert Morris and Colonel Willoughby, General Willoughby, who is deceased now, John Wayne. But some of these names, John Tower, Strom Thurmond, William Buckley, Igor Cassini, Dobriansky, Barry Goldwater, William Nolan, Mrs. Lilly, Robert Morris, are very important to the way that John Kennedy was removed, and so that their agent, Richard Nixon, would get in power. And then Nixon is removed so that the agent from Young American for Freedom in his organization can get Ronald Reagan as president. July 21st, 1980, there was a story in the Washington Post, Reagan's Triumph Parallels Young American for Freedom's Resurgence. And it tells how proud they are that for 16 years they've been pushing for the nomination of Ronald Reagan as president. In 1980, they were bragging about that they had been working on this since 1964. 1964 was the year Kennedy, 1 month after Kennedy was murdered, and the YF were brought in, a team of them from Munich, Germany, for that occasion. And they're very happy, and they refer to Tom Charles Houston, H-U-S-T-O-N, the famed COINTEL, the counterintelligence program, the Operation Chaos, out of Indiana. Incidentally, out of Indiana is where the Birch Society was originally formed in Indiana. Indiana is the location of the COINTEL, the Houston Operation Chaos, to combine military, FBI, CIA, the Pentagon, the Defense Department, in opening mail, assassination teams, burglaries, planning evidence. The MK Ultra, the mind control program, came out of there. That's where Spiro Agnew went to a foundation when he was kicked out of government as vice president and caught with his finger in various payoffs. And that's where Emily and William Harris came from, and Angela Gary Atwood, to come to the West Coast to form the CIA's SLA. As I wrote in the SLA, is the CIA in Indiana. Also publishes Bob Merrill, publisher from Indiana, did a Sylvia Mars book, Accessories After the Fact. And this may just be a coincidence, but I'd have to look into more about that publishing firm, because that's the book that left out the 26 people from Young Americans for Freedom and Robert Morris, and her index also that she published on the Warren Commission hearings. Now, pertinent to all of this activity that continuously ties into Larry McDowell and his operation is that man Charles Willoughby, the counterpart of Fritz Kramer. I was waiting to do more on Willoughby until I could really resolve the matter whether Fritz Kramer is Hitler's general, the one that ran our Pentagon and works with General Graham at the present time on the space operations and trade, international trade. But Kevin Coogan, who's done this magnificent work on the Sovereign Military Order of Malta, sent me two articles about Willoughby, and we'll be doing a lot more on those. One is called To Whet Your Appetite, From Heidelberg to Madrid, The Story of General Willoughby. This was published in The Reporter, August 19th, 1952, and I'll make reprints for you and figure out how many pages it is. And there's another story in The Reporter called General MacArthur and His Vanishing War History, and this has to do with Willoughby and Douglas MacArthur. This was October 14th, 1952. I'll get these out to you because they're very important. And I also have sent to some researchers, and if you want copies, I'll get out to you a article written for the U.S. Farm News, March 1973, by Morris Kaminsky. Now, this article brings up General Charles Willoughby. He's the man who was Carl Weidenbeck, a German name, who changes it to a very refined, accepted English name. And this story in the Farm News refers to a book that I haven't seen and will try to get. It's called The Study of a Master Spy, published in London in 1961 by Bob Edwards. And this book tells how Alan Dulles of the Central Intelligence Agency carried on secret conferences with representatives of Hitler's SS February and March 1943. Now, get those dates straight, because, as I say, when I get into the Robert Byron Watson story of the Larry McDonald team working with Walter Rauf, the Nazi war criminal in Chile, and with George Habash and the assassination teams and drug dealers of the Middle East. Keep in mind that the Nazi connections just didn't sprout up. Klaus Barbie just didn't happen to be protected by the American government in 1945. It took a lot of planning to know what to do with these people when the war was over. And I referred to Kurt Reese's book, The Nazis Go Underground, to show the meetings that Hitler had and where they planned from 1943, the exact dates, up to 1945, even delaying the Battle of the Bulge for 7 months in order to get the gold and the jewels and the money out of Europe to make sure that all the arrangements were made to protect their top people after the war. But for the Germans to make such plans and decide it, or for SS Karl Wolff to work with Alan Dulles in Switzerland and with the Vatican simultaneously, and they were to write the passports for these Nazis and Nazi money to send this man from the Navy, Joe McCarthy, who was to become the senator and release more of these people from the Dachau trials. The important thing is, not only did the Germans have this in mind, but Alan Dulles moved to Switzerland in 1943, and I said this must be for the express purpose of doing what they were doing. So when they couldn't win the war against the Soviet Union, Alan Dulles of Chase Manhattan Bank, of the law offices of the Rockefellers and multinational corporations, was working as early as February and March, and it's detailed in this book, and I have to get it. And of course, this long article has to do with the survival of Martin Bormann, the arrangements for Martin Bormann to get out, and also for Hermann Abst, who's currently the head of the Vatican Bank, along with three other people investigating or covering up their connections. In 1973, that was 10 years ago, Morris Kaminsky was writing about top Nazis in the Pentagon. He says that John Kennedy personally put in the office of the Pentagon a war criminal, loyal confidant of Adolf Hitler. His name was Adolf Heusinger, Heusinger, to become head of NATO military planning, and he was a Nazi war criminal. And Kurt George Kiesinger as Chancellor of West Germany, and Franz Joseph Strauss were working with the Americans. I've mentioned Kiesinger in relationship to the Munich massacre and the Olympic Games and the top Nazis. So this article, I will bring out more details share them with you by Morris Kaminsky, and I can get it to you. But the very people that he mentioned in 1973, Dr. Walter Becher, Becher, oh, go back to Robert Morris. He mentions Willoughby, the top Nazis, the government and corporation of Nazis, and Martin Bormann, and he tells that these teams were made up, and mentions people by name, and the names he mentions are people that are in the news today that we read about all the time. They're not dead issues. In 1973, those names were brought out in a bulletin in the U.S. Farm News, and they're very important, and they're more important because people like Larry McDonald have access with computers to every police department in the United States and the Birch Society. And the origins of the Birch Society go back to people like Revillo Oliver, who on the 4th of July a few years back spoke in Boston and said every Jew in America should be gassed. These organizations are not just little old ladies in tennis shoes, as Justice Mosk said a while back. As a matter of fact, after he made that remark, a man from Pasadena who was familiar with the assassination teams took me to his office in Pasadena and clued me on to the seriousness of the Birch Society years and years ago when I was still living in Los Angeles. He so resented the fact that it was passed off by Mr. Mosk, who was also a legal consultant to the Warren Commission hearings, along with Alan Dulles and John J. McCloy, and Earl Warren and Mr. Russell from Georgia, and Gerald Ford, and Leon Jaworski. I think it's been 20 years since Kennedy was murdered. Can you see the cast of characters who covered up the slaying of the President of the United States? And in the last 10 minutes before I go into some more on Robert Byron Watson, I might tell you that this last year, October 28th, Representative Larry McDonald was speaking at the League of Women Voters in Marietta, Georgia, and he said that Mr. Hess, the Nazi war criminal Rudolf Hess, should be released out of the prison because he would be very valuable for his fight against communism. He would be invaluable. Congressman Larry McDonald told the League of Women Voters, and this was before the Hitler diary furor. Now, the story of the diaries with all the top Nazis and the DESA network that was exposed, I said, the It had to do with the seriousness of the Nazi network. I don't take those diaries as being the fraud that they said they were. It was all hushed up very quickly when the network of top Nazis who worked with Alan Dulles and Larry McDonald all surfaced. But before the diaries appeared, and when they did, the excuse was to release Mr. Hess out of Spandau Prison. But earlier, those diaries just broke the first of the year. Earlier, Larry McDonald, October 28th of this year, was saying that Hess should have gotten the Nobel Peace Prize and that he's so valuable to America and to tell us about the Nazis. And when he was saying that, that was October the 28th, 1982. The London Times, 1 week later, November the 7th, 1982, had the story of Hess, and it said with him he took to Britain to see Winston Churchill in May of 1941, secrets and names of people in the British government that were important to him. Now, these names are supposed to be locked up for another 30 or 40 years, but I understand that new book on Goebbels' diary actually mentions them. And the London Times has some of the people. And the names that are mentioned here are people sympathetic to Adolf Hitler who wanted Great Britain to become part of Germany and combine forces. There's a picture of some of these people, the names Hess brought with him to Britain, Mr. Hoare, H-O-A-R-E, Mr. Douglas, Mr. Butler, Percy, Lothian, O'Malley, and I can go through some of these with you if you want me to. These are important people related to high government officials, some of them high government officials at the time in London and in power today, and the names were in possession of Rudolf Hess. They were handed to him by Hitler. They were the promises of top people in the government that they would go along with the Führer. Hess was the secretary to the Führer. Now, this is the man that wanted to use the entire British government to help fight Russia and make the world safe for Nazi Germany. And here is Larry McDonald 1 week earlier saying that Hess should get the Nobel Peace Prize and that he's such a valuable person, and that he would help Western goals, the think tank, his mentality by giving clues as to world communism. He would be invaluable. Does that give you a little clue of what Western goals is like with Interpol, Hitler's police agency, with J. Edgar Hoover's list, with Robert Morris's list from Senator Joe McCarthy days, from Louise Reese's, John Reese's wife, she works for Larry McDonald, her list from the House Un-American Activity, and then add to it all the newspaper articles and protest movements that are going on today, and it's in the hands of these people. Now, just in the remaining time, I want to continue. Last week, I talked about a letter I got in December 76 from Robert Byron Watson. David Wemple wrote to me a month later, January 21st, and he didn't know if I was familiar with Watson or not, and just the essence, a few points about his letter. He said, "Dear May, Robert Watson is in a Miami prison. He claims he was framed." I talked about the framing last week. He says, "This is what he is telling me from his affidavit that I've enclosed for you, that Larry McDonald of Marietta, Georgia, now a congressman in the U.S. House of Representatives, is closely associated with Jerry Adams from the American Silver Company." Now, on broadcast 471, I talked about Mark David Chapman, Lenin's assassin, who worked in Marietta, Georgia with Tony Adams, and they sent him to Beirut, Lebanon, and this is where Aja was trained with Frank Turple to kill and do the shooting that almost killed the Pope. I don't know if Tony Adams is related to Jerry Adams, but they're from the same city, and both of them work with George Habash and Larry McDonald over in Beirut, Lebanon, and with the Central Intelligence Agency, and with Strom Thurmond and Frank Turple. Worked with Strom Thurmond, and Thurmond and Reese all worked with J. Peter Grace and the International Nazi Network, and they would have a good motive to get rid of John Lennon because he could have peace demonstrations equal to what the Pope is having in Poland to incite problems against the Soviet Union. He wrote to me about Jerry Adams, and on broadcast 471, I talk about Tony Adams from the same city. He said he's also associated with Mr. Herman Jackson. I gave you his alias last week, Walter Alfred Jack Youngblood, a fellow involved allegedly, possibly at the Dealey Plaza when John Kennedy was killed, and also involved with the murder of Martin Luther King. He wrote to me that they were involved in the summer of 74 with gold smuggling operations in South America, in Chile, and he mentions four different countries, and all of those countries in 1974 and currently and in the past were important to the United States government. One was Chile. That's where the Nazis have their border between Argentine, Chile. This government was put in by 74 by Fritz Kramer and Henry Kissinger and John McCone, who was CIA director when Kennedy was killed. They murdered Allende and were active in narcotics, traffic, and police state operations in Chile. He mentions Peru in 1974. Klaus Barbie had headquarters in Peru and then went to Bolivia and ran his cocaine operation, working for the CIA and the Gestapo, the current Gestapo, and the Masonic Licio Gelli operation out of Italy, the International Odessa. He mentions Colombia, where they were active, and that has been exposed just recently for the large cocaine operations. We know it comes into this country from Colombia, particularly the Hollywood connections, the cocaine operations on the West Coast, and Costa Rica in 1974. That's where Robert Vesco went for asylum so that he wouldn't be prosecuted with William Casey and Bernie Kornfeld, and he still continues his operations. He's in Algiers, I understand, at the present time. And Vesco and Bernie Kornfeld are still doing their thing internationally and nationally. He talks about the gold smuggling operation in 74, the people he worked with, and with Larry McDonald. He said Larry McDonald was aware of the source of campaign funds coming out of narcotics traffic and so forth. And, of course, his partner in Western Gold is Roy Cohn, never far removed from the syndicate. He also mentions John Tower as being part of the international syndicate, and John Tower, along with Ronald Reagan and Colonel Willoughby and Robert Morris, the close associate team going back to 1960, Young Americans for Freedom. John Tower is named in by Robert Byron Watson at this time in his letters as being part of that syndicate. And, of course, John Tower is married to Samuel Cummings' sister. Samuel Cummings runs the CIA operation. He's from Philadelphia. He's the arms supplier for Carlos and George Habash and for the Chilean government and the dictatorships and for Wilson and Turpel and Korkala and anyone else who wants to buy his weapons. He is the brother-in-law of Senator John Tower, who is described as part of the syndicate. Now, he describes the syndicate in his letter, according to Robert Byron Watson, as a group of wealthy multimillionaires who are interested in narcotics, but he also mentions Walter Ralph and his connection. And my definition of the syndicate is the Odessa or Despine, S-P-I-E-N-N-E, the spider, the Nazi network, the Nazis, the intelligence community, and the narcotics and the gun running. Those four operations, and in that article in Mother Jones on the Vatican, you get the role of all of these and the Vatican combined. Religious institutions are part of it. The countries have no boundaries. The idea is profit and hate and control. Anti-Semitic, anti-black, racist, flooding narcotics into this country at huge profits and controlling the politicians. And, of course, that gets back to people like Paul Laxalt with his buddy in the White House at the present time. Now, this letter from David Wemple goes into Dr. Balick as working for the CIA. I mentioned that last week, and setting up the Black September Group and the PFLP, a popular front for the liberation of Palestine. Their goal is to wipe out the entire country of Israel. And, of course, the J. Peter Grays, who works with Otto Ambrose and the early Nazis, the IG Farben Network, go directly to John Rees, I'll do more on that soon, and Larry McDonald, so that the names of the Vatican bankers, the agents of World War II, are continuously reappearing with these same characters day after day. The work is getting more interesting because the names keep reappearing, the same countries and the same names. And this Robert Byron Watson is talking about using Sirhan from the Palestinian group for the murder of, he didn't know who it would be used for, he'd be used for, because he didn't hear them discuss the Robert Kennedy assassination, but he heard them discuss the Martin Luther King murder 1 week before King was murdered. So that the letter that I got from David Wemple goes into detail, new material, some of it is new material, but similar to what Robert Byron wrote to me. But he put in his letter to David Wemple, I wrote to Bernard Fensterwald, and that was ironic because he thought Fensterwald would help him. And Fensterwald, of course, works for the Central Intelligence Agency and did nothing about the case of Robert Byron Watson. As a matter of fact, Fencerwell became James Earl Ray's attorney, and you didn't hear him bring up the fact that Mr. Youngblood and these people were bragging about killing Martin Luther King. Fencerwell does not clear the patsy James Earl Ray because he had some role in the operation, but he makes sure that the other part doesn't come out. And that's what a CIA attorney does when he gets attached to a CIA case like this. Well, Mr. McDonald not only wants Hess out, so does the team in Germany that got together that pulled this diary story. They surfaced as very much intact. But when the story broke in the Los Angeles Times about the relationship of Larry McDonald's operation, Western Goals, to the LA Times, it broke May 24th. It's been hushed up ever since. I haven't seen a thing about it. The Bird Society has, as I say, strong links to Ravillo Oliver, to the racists, to the anti-Semites, the entire network that goes deep into the Posse Comitatus, and that takes a full cycle again back to the news of today with a picture of Senator Joe McCarthy and these far right wingers that intend to be armed in 50 states, they say, and take the law into their own hands. We'll have to do more of this next week because our time is out. In the meantime, this is Mae Brussel. It's KAZU-FM in Pacific Grove, California, and I'll be back with you next week.